Okay, we're in the middle of a beautiful piece from Rav Dessler, our Rebbe. And the piece began back on page 242. Hamabat haMetziusi ein gvul laEfshrus haAliyah. Right, the true perspective, the reality, the realistic perspective, the real perspective, which is that there are no limits to how much a person can grow. And just to review very quickly, he quoted the Gemara in Maseches Nida that before we're born we learn the entirety of the Torah, and then the Malach comes and gives us a patch on the lips, and we forget everything. So the question that, as I told you, many asked even before Rav Dessler, what's the point of learning everything if you're going to forget the whole thing? And Rav Dessler explains, it's to teach us, it's to let us know that Torah is within ourselves. We know it already. It's been placed internally. The Hakaras HaEmes is banu. It's inside of us already, and our job is just to believe that we can get back to it. If you remember, then he quoted an amazing Maamar Chazal over here on page 243 from Tana Debei Eliyahu Rabbah. The Tana Debei Eliyahu is a collection of Medrash, and it says that every Jew is Chayav Lomar, when will I reach the actions of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? And Rav Dessler told us that the key word to think about here is Chayav. You're obligated. You're obligated to say it. Why am I obligated to say it? It's nice advice to strive to be like, maybe it's not even nice advice, maybe it's bad advice. Sometimes you read this Maamar Chazal, you think it's terrible advice. It's totally unrealistic advice. That's why you have tzaddikim like Rav Simcha Bunim of Preshischa, who said that the key word in this Maamar Chazal is Yagiu. He says Yagiu doesn't only mean to reach the level of the Avos, but to have a Negiah, to try to touch. Negiah, to touch, to make contact with the Avos, to feel connected to the Avos. I'm never going to be on their level, but to at least see my level as being somehow related, connected to them. To draw on the merit of the Avos, that's one way to say it, maybe. But Rav Dessler wants us to focus on the word Chayev. Chayev means you're obligated. You're obligated to believe that you can be in some way like the Avos. Now, today is the yard site of a tzaddik, Rav Yechiel Michel. No, that's not true. We're going to get to Rav Yechiel Michel. We're actually going to get to two Yechiel Michels today. The Maggid of Zlotchev. Yechiel Michel of Zlotchev. No, he's also Yechiel Michel. Yeah. Okay, we're going to have two Yechiel Michels this morning. Wow. Yechiel Michel of Zlotchev, the Magid of Zlotchev, as he was known. Today is his yard site. We have a sefer from him. It's called Mayim Rabim. Looks like this. And he writes here, just an interesting thing. He quotes this Maamar Chazal, Chayev Adam, person's obligated to say, when am I going to be on the level of the Avos? And he says something very beautiful. It's very empowering. He says, what does it mean to be like the Avos? You think you're actually going to be like Avram Avinu? Well, you're going to be the next Yitzchak or Yaakov. Like I said the other day, what in our Shmona Esrei, one day we're gonna change the nusach to Avram Yitzchak Yaakov and Dani, Avram Yitzchak Yaakov and Dov. I mean, what are we really supposed to be the next of the Avos? So he explains that no, you have to understand each of the Avos had a fierce sense of self. Rav Yechiel Michel of Zlotchev says each of the Avos was able to find his unique contribution to the world of Torah. So Avram we know is the Midah of Chesed. And Yitzchak is Gvura. And Yaakov is Tiferes. Each of them, Avram is Chesed. Yitzchak is maybe Tefillah. Yaakov is Torah. Each of them sort of found their place in a very intense way. And therefore, a person needs to say, when am I going to be like the Avos? You don't have to be Avram, Yitzchak, or Yaakov. You don't even have to be as world-renowned as Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But you need to find your place, and you need to offer your Chiddush in Avodas Hashem like the Avos. If you asked Avram, who are you? What are you about? What's your derech in Avodas Hashem? He could answer that question. And we, till this day, have a sense of the personality, the style of Avram Avinu. So the Maggid of Zlotchev said we have to try to be like the Avos, to forge an original path in Avodas Hashem, like the Avos did. It's a very empowering idea. But again, Chayev, you're obligated to believe that, yeah, I'm going to make a contribution to the Jewish people in my own way, each in our own way. And then the last thing that we learned was this paragraph, Mikime Me'afar Dal, which again is so timely. I mentioned Motzei Shabbos, that the Chassam Sofer writes, somewhere in his writings on Bechukosai, he talks about Tafshin Pei and Tafshin Pei Aleph. Now, he doesn't exactly talk about the year Tafshin Pei, the year that we're finishing, and he doesn't make predictions about the year Tafshin Pei Aleph, but he explains, based on very interesting Ramazim, that Tafshin Pei is sort of a negative number. Tafshin Pei Aleph hints to the pasuk that this is based on. Mikime me'afar dal me'ashpo siyarim evyon. Chevra, this is sort of the mission statement for the year. Haba aleinu letova. We're entering into the year Taf, Shin Pei Aleph, Ashpos. What does that mean? What's the Kavana? Ashpos. Ashpos means like the garbage dumps. So obviously we don't want to be in the garbage dumps. Hopefully this is the year that Mekime Me'afar Dal, that we're going to lift ourselves up from the dust, Me'ashpos, from the garbage heaps, Yarim Evyon. We're going to rise to greater heights than ever before. And the Chassam Sofer saw that as Tafshin Pei Aleph, as not, you know, being in the Ashpa, but emerging from the Ashpa. Finally getting back on track. It's a big tefillah that we have and hope for ourselves. We should find our way to get our lives back on track as we come out of this very strange and unusual year. But again, as he told us, we can be chavrusas with Avram Avinu. We can reach unbelievable heights. Like I told you the other day, you can only fall so low physically. If you fall from a tall tower, you can only fall to a certain point, eventually hit the ground. But up, you can go forever. And that's how we have to see our lives. Now, Chaver, just one other word before we get started, before we continue in this next paragraph. Today, of course, is Chaf Hei Elul. Please tell me, what is Chaf Hei Elul? What is Chaf Hei Elul? First day of creation. Today was the day that Hashem created the world. No, it's the birthday of the world. I think my son had birthday cake in school the other day because they told him it's the birthday of the world. Rosh Hashanah is the birthday of the world, so they made a birthday party for the world. It's very cute. So, in celebration of the birthday of the world, I want to just share with you one beautiful insight. Again, a Chaf Hei Elul Vart to give us a little perspective. It comes from Rav Yonasan Eibshitz. Rav Yonasan Eibshitz lived in the 18th century, in the 1700s, and he writes in Parshas Bereishis, in his Sefer Tiferes Yonasan, he writes an amazing thing. When Adam HaRishon sinned, Vayikra Hashem Elokim El HaAdam Vayomer Lo Ayeka, and Hashem calls out to Adam HaRishon, and he says, Ayeka, where are you? Right? Remember the Pesukim? Everyone remembers the Pesukim from Bereishis? Right? Where are you? What happened to you? So the Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Adam HaRishon, you know, yesterday you were with me, and now you're already with the Nachash. Like, look how quickly your life fell apart. However, there was no yesterday. Adam sinned on the day he was created. Adam sinned on Rosh Hashanah. And he got kicked out of Gan Eden. And Hashem let him stay for Shabbos, right? But what do you mean, yes? What was yesterday? There was no yesterday. Adam messed up on the first day of his life. So yesterday you were with me, and now you're with the Nachash, the Medrash says. Very strange. Very, very strange. So explains Rav Yonasan Eibshitz. Listen to this. He says, it's talking about the neshama. When was Adam's neshama created? That's a hard question. When was Adam's neshama created? It's part of Hashem. It always was, just like Hashem always was. That's actually a very hard question to answer. When was our neshama created? If our neshama is a chelek eloka mima'al mamish, if it's a piece of Hashem, so to speak, then just like Hashem always was, you could say our neshama always was. Rav Yonasan Eibshitz says that the neshama was created today, Chaf Hei Elul, the first day of creation. And that's why, what is the word that Hashem uses when he says to Adam Rishon, where are you? What happened to you? What's the word? What's the magic word? Ayeka. Ayeka. Aleph, Yud, Chaf Hei. Says Rav Yonasan Eibshitz, you know how you can read it? Ayeka. Where are you? You could read it as E Chaf Hei. What happened to Chaf Hei? What happened to Chaf Hei Elul? You were used to be just the beautiful neshama. Now I put you in a body for a few seconds and you're falling apart. The whole thing's falling apart already so quickly. That's what he's saying to him. Right? That's what the Medrash is saying. Yesterday, not literally yesterday, right? Yesterday meaning from the beginning of creation, when I first made you neshama, we were so close, we were so tight. And now look what happens. I put your neshama in a body for a couple of minutes and all of a sudden the nachash has the upper hand over you. However, today is the day when the neshama was created. And again, what Rav Dessler wants us to believe is that the neshama is the real me. The neshama doesn't have to be subservient to the nachash. You don't have to be enslaved to the nachash. You don't have to be held captive by the nachash. You're allowed to set yourself free. I'll tell you just one other quick thing. The Navi Yeshaya, I thought I had over Shabbos. The Navi Yeshaya says, and I want to develop this idea, I'm still thinking about it, but I think it'll resonate with you. The Navi Yeshaya says about the Jewish people fasting, Hashem says to the Jewish people, by way of the Navi Yeshaya, do you think this is the fast that I desire? You think I just want you to fast? What I want you to do is I want you to free yourself from the fetters, from the chains of the Yetzer Hara. I want you to set yourself free. And I was thinking about that image on Shabbos, being chained, being held back by the Yetzer Hara. And I thought of something which you might think it's kvira dik, but I think it's actually a very realistic thing. There's a point of tshuva that a person is able to say, mamish, I'm never going to do the avera again. I'm really not going to do it again. Now, you know how the Rambam describes how a person's tshuva gemura means being able to say to Hashem, I'm really never going to do it again, and Hashem looks into your heart, and Hashem sees that you mean it. That's tshuva gemura, that's the highest level of tshuva. But what the Navi is telling us also, Hashem says, I want you to free yourself from the chains of the Yetzer Hara. Now that could be going completely free, or it could also mean, and I want to think about this for a second, it could also mean just not being so enslaved to the Yetzer Hara. In other words, you can do averos. Now you can, you shouldn't, obviously. Right? But you might still come to do averos. But do you have to do it in such a, like such a slave? Do you have to be so mishubad to the Yetzer Hara? You hear the difference, Chava? Jonathan, you hear the difference between a person who does an avera versus a person who's mamish enslaved to the avera? Right? It's the difference between a person who's, you know, who's addicted to that avera versus the person who's occasionally he messes up. He's a baal taiva, he's a human being, he makes mistakes. But the Navi says, at least don't be a slave to the avera. Right? Don't feel that I can't free myself from it. Even if I still stumble, I still mess up sometimes. But do I have to mamish wear the shackles of the Yetzer Hara? Do I have to be so trapped by the Yetzer Hara? That much I have to be, that I don't have to be. And that's again, I'm just sharing this with you because that's what Rav Dessler is trying to teach us. You don't have to be trapped. When you're still in Gullis, think about Geula. And that leads us into where we're up to on the page, also from the Navi Yeshaya. HaGullis Ma'avar. Gullis is a bridge. Gullis is a passageway. Says the Navi Yeshaya, Lifkoach Einayim Ivrot. To open up eyes that are blind, lahotzi mimasger asir, to free a person from their captivity. Va'ayin Rashi shebisram ki kishiyiglu labavil ba'asid. Rashi says, what was Hashem telling them? That when you're going to go into Gullis Bavel, the first of our four exiles in Jewish history in the future, you should just know that achar kach, the yigalem achar kach Hashem yisbach. You should know, as you go into Golis, that afterwards Hashem is going to set you free. You should make sure that you know that. The question, says Rav Dessler, is, as I start Golis, why do I have to be mindful of Geula? Lama hutzrach levasrum zos ata od kodem shagalo. Before you even go to Golis, we're already talking about Geula. Why is that so? Right, it reminds us of that Rashi on Eka Asher Eka, when Hashem says to Moshe, right, Moshe says, God, what's your name? And Hashem says, Ehaya Asher Ehaya. I'll be what I will be. And Rashi explains that Hashem was saying, I'll be with you in this exile, and I'll be with you in future exiles. And Moshe's like, why are we talking about future exiles? Let's just like survive the moment for a second. We'll deal with tomorrow. Why are we getting ahead of ourselves? So in a similar fashion, Rashi over here says, the Navi's telling them, before they even went to Gullis, the Navi's warning them about Gullis, he's also telling them about Geula. Why is he introducing Geula before they even go into Gullis? So he explains of Ala Inyan, who, top of the next page, Shahagalus, who, Lilamed, Uleyasher, Osanu. What's the point of Gullis? Chevra, we have to remember Hashem is on our team. Hashem wants us to be successful. We sometimes have to go to Gullis in order to learn a lesson, to straighten ourselves out. Unfortunately, the reality is some people are so overwhelmed by being in Gullis that they can't even dream of freedom. And again, Gullis doesn't just mean exile out of Israel from the Beis HaMikdash. Exile means that part of yourself that doesn't believe it can ever be freed from a certain thing. I know myself. I'm an angry guy. I have a temper problem. I'll never conquer that. That's terrible to think like that. As you face your Gullis, you need to dream of Geula. V'yesha adraba od miskalkalim begullis b'pnei misyashim. There are those people who not only are they not able to grow from Gullis, but they mamish fall apart in Gullis. I spoke to two people last week who told me that coronavirus is like the best thing that happened to them. And they felt so guilty saying it. They're like, Rebbe, I feel really bad saying this, but coronavirus worked out awesome for me. I like started dating right before, and now I just got engaged, and everything's working out like great. And like for my job, it was so much more relaxed. It was so much easier. And other people, it's like the other end of the spectrum. For other people, it's like, this has been the worst 6 months of my life. I can't get a job. My dating's on hold. I'm stuck at home. I'm getting into fights with my parents, etc., etc., etc. So for some people, trapped is a very is an opportunity to kind of slow down a little bit, to turn inward, grow from that place. Gullus can be a place of growth. Gullus could also be a place of unbelievable sadness and depression, where things fall apart completely, where people fall into a state of yayush. Because says Rav Dessler very cryptically in parentheses, Shalas bittul olam hazeh. You know what Gullus is? Gullus is that moment in life when you realize, right, that partially the realization that you're not in control, but also the realization that the world is sort of not your friend, that this world is not it's not the be all and end all. You know, you were a Jew who was enjoying his life and doing whatever he wanted until the Navi said, "I'm telling you, it's going to all fall apart if you don't stay loyal to Hashem," and then everything falls apart, and now you're depressed because I thought I had it good in this world, and now this world has proven to be a harsh reality, a harsh place. What you should learn from that. From the fact that life can become physically so destabilized, you should know that the one thing that's constant in your life is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ani Hashem lo shenisi. I'm God and I don't change. There's one thing that's always the same. On your best day and on your worst day, Hashem is that rock, is that consistency. But if you're obsessed with this world, and then all of a sudden, God forbid, you know, your business collapses, your house catches on fire, your car gets into an accident, all of a sudden, everything falls apart. Aval yesha kol mohusam ba'olam hazeh. There are those, unfortunately, whose whole life, their whole existence is olam hazeh. Aval kein misyashim va'afilu ma'avdim atzam ladas. Rachmana litzlan. That's why people become mityayesh, they become depressed, they give up hope. To the point that some people even become suicidal, he says. Ma'avdim atzam ladas. You know, the stock market crashes and people jump off of buildings. Rachmana litzlan. As if their life is over. As if the neshama is not the ikar. As if spiritual, you know, success is not the defining success of a person in this world. Right? So Rahman al-Itslan, Gullus is very destabilizing. But therefore, when you face Gullus, what does the Navi say? You got to be thinking about Geula. Val kein shalach Hashem yisbarach as nevio. Hashem sent the Navi lahoros ki ha-Gullus eino ela ma'avar. Gullus is just a bridge. It just gets us from point A to point B. And if you learn from it, Tagia l'katzeo asheni, you'll make it to the other side. It's not as scary as it looks. Chaver, what did we read this past Shabbos? Torah tshuva lo b'shamayim hi, lo me'ever layam. It's not this, you know, this gap that's impossible to cross. If you understand what the purpose of that scary middle area is, you'll make it from point A to point B. You'll be able to pass through that middle area, which is so frightening on the surface. Right, then you'll be able to experience geula meha'umos, freedom from what? Freedom from the nations of the world. Geula me'asitra achra, freedom from your yetzahara, or olam. You'll be able to tap into the light of the world. Klal hu shitzarech ha'odim listaka bekotza hasheni. You always have to be looking. Where am I trying to get to? Shela'acharei dimyonos ha'yetzer uvezeh yinotza. Look what comes after all of the tricks and all of the deception of the yetzahara. And then you'll be able to save yourself. You have to know where you're trying to get to. You have to be able to look beyond the struggle right now. I told you we're going to learn something from another Yechiel Michal today. So there was a great tzaddik in Yerushalayim, Yechiel Michal Tukachinsky. Anyone ever hear of him? Tukachinsky, Rabbi Tukachinsky. He's no longer alive. Zecher Tzaddik Levracha. He wrote a famous work, mostly halacha, called Gesher HaChaim. Gesher HaChaim means the bridge of life. And most of it talks about the bridge of life, the bridge between this world and the next world. So he talks about the halachos of mourning, of life and death. He talks about the laws of visiting a person who's sick. Right? He talks about the halachos, most of the sefer. The first two sections are about kvura, about burial, about avelos. But then he has a third section, which is machshava, which are ideas to explain the gesher achaim, the bridge of life. Again, this whole world is just a corridor to the next world. And he starts off with such an awesome mashal. He starts off, he says, a mashal of a parable of two twins in the womb. And one of them is, so to speak, you know, from, is a believer. And the other one is an apikaris. And the one who has this, you know, tradition, again, children in the womb. But one of the twins has this tradition, you know, that there's something outside of the womb. There's another world beyond the womb. And it's even better than the womb. And the other one says, no, what are you talking about? There's no such thing. There's nothing beyond this world. You know, we have everything we need in here. The child living inside the comfort of the mother. It's warm in there. Its nutrients are provided for it. Right? And they're debating. They're having this debate. He paints this beautiful picture. Right? The rational brother, so to speak, is mocking this tradition. What do you mean you believe in something beyond this space, something beyond this world? And then, of course, the mother starts to feel the pains of the labor, right? And the believing brother starts to move towards the opening to exit, to transition from the world of the womb to this world, right? And the rational brother says, "No, my brother, don't go out that door. You know, if you walk through that door, it'll be the end of you," right? And he tries to hold him back. He tries to grab onto him. Tries to pull him back in, so to speak. Right? Don't go out beyond the womb. And he goes, and the first brother goes out, the believing brother, so to speak, goes out the door, and he hears his brother crying on the other side. And he's, "Oh my gosh!" You know, the rational twin, the brother inside still is screaming. He's so scared. He hears his brother's cries, right? And then all of a sudden, he hears them cry out. There's something on the other side. "Mazel tov, mazel tov! It's a baby boy! It's a baby boy!" And Rabbi Yechiel Michal Tikhachinsky says, in the same way that when the child was in the womb, it couldn't imagine that there could be such a big and beautiful world beyond the womb, that's how we feel in this world. We can't imagine what comes next. We've never seen it. We don't understand it. We understand it less than that child in utero, right? And yet, we have a tradition, and we have our Torah, and we have our Nevi'im telling us that even though Ayin lo rasa Elokim zu asecha, no one's ever seen it, we don't know exactly what it is, but we know it's a good thing. We know it's a very, very good thing. I think it was Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky who said, "We don't know exactly what Gan Eden is, what Gehenna is, heaven and hell. We don't know what it is, but we know that one is really good and one is really bad. That's all you need to know. Where do you want to be? Where do you want to end up when it's all said and done?" Okay, so Chevra, so this is what Rav Dessler wants us to believe. That it's possible for a person, again, to rise to great heights, to overcome all of the, you know, so to speak, bridges, to cross those bridges, and when you're in a state of galus, to be dreaming of the possibility of Geula. Okay, Yehuda Kolten, what did you want to say?
Just before, when we were talking about the Chassam Sofer,
yeah.
I'm not anyone to point out anything different than the Chassam Sofer, but wouldn't Me'ashpos Yerem Hevyon mean that, like from after Ashpos Yerem Hevyon, meaning like after Tuf Shin Pei Aleph?
All right, so he saw that this was already the year of emerging from the Ashpos. He didn't say it exactly like that again, but that's our hope. Our hope is that we've been down in the dumps for a long time. The world has become very uncertain, right? And we feel like Hashem has thrown away the world into the garbage. And now it's time to rise up. Now it's time to grow from that and to become bigger from that. That's how life works, you know? Out of darkness comes light. It's hard to say when you're in the dark, but that's how it always is. If you don't go to Mitzrayim, you don't come to Har Sinai. You know, there's just no other way to... If there's no shattering, there could be no recreating. Without destroying the first luchos, you can't get to the second luchos. It's whatever. It's an ironic process, a paradoxical process of life. That's how Hashem runs the world. Okay?
Rabbi, a second thing that's really quick is we've been talking about Chayev to be like
to be like
Avraham and Yaakov. So in Nesivos Shalom, he discusses the fact that it's about like your hasagos, your goals.
Okay.
And you have to, and we talk a lot about how, like, someone has an anger issue and they're like, "Okay, that's just me. I'm someone with an anger issue." And that's the end of the story for them. And the limiting factor in people's lives is the fact that they don't think that they can reach a level, so they don't try.
Right.
And so he says that you're not chayav to reach the level of levels, but you're chayav to set goals, right, like in that vein.
Point yourself, right. Dream big like the avos. Right. At least say it. At least want to be like the avos. Right? You're not realistically going to be the avos. That's what they say. They say that... They say that Rav Baruch Ber, the great Rosh Hashiva of Kamenitz, Rav Baruch Ber Libutz, so he said, "I set out to be Rabbi Akiva Eger, and that's how I became Rav Baruch Ber." He said, "If I would have just tried to be Rav Baruch Ber, I wouldn't have even been Rav Baruch Ber. But because I set my eyes, you know, I set my sights on the one who's above me, and I strove for greatness, so then hopefully, even if I don't, obviously I won't reach that, I'll never be like the earlier Doros, I'll never reach the level of the earlier generations, but at least if I aim high, you know, I'll end up somewhere decent along the way." Okay? All right, excellent. Chavar, let's do this next paragraph. Vayihi b'shalem suko. It's a pasuk in Tehillim, chapter 76, Ayin Vav. Vayihi b'shalem suko. Amr of Brachia, look at this, very strange medrash. Mitchilas briyaso shel olam asalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu sukkah b'Yerushalayim. As you get ready, start thinking in the next couple of weeks how you're going to build your sukkah, get yourselves ready. You should know that you're not the only one who has a sukkah. Hashem, from the beginning of time, built a sukkah in Yerushalayim. And what does Hashem do in his sukkah? Listen to this. Kiviyachol hu hayim espalel b'socho. V'omer yihiratzon shi'asu banai ritzoni. Hashem davens in the sukkah, and he davens there, I want my children to do my will. I want to have good kids. I want to get nachas from Bnei Yisrael. First of all, the notion of God davening is a very interesting idea. It's a very deep idea. Chaver, what does that mean? What does it mean, God davens? Jared, what does that mean? Ozzy, what does that mean? Hashem davens? Who's Hashem davening to? Aaron, who's Hashem davening to? What are we talking about here? Hashem made himself a sukkah, that's his shul. And he davens that what? He's davened Yehi Ratzon, it should be his will. Whose will? What are you talking about? Talking himself? Is Hashem davening that it should be the will of the people? Is Hashem davening to us? How do you understand such a Maimer Chazal? It's one of these things you're just reading, like, oh, it's beautiful, you know, that image of God wanting his kids to be good. No, but think about it for a second. It says Hashem davens there. Who does Hashem daven to? So he explains based on Rav Aaron of Karlin. The great Rebbe Rav Aaron of Karlin, the Beis Aaron, lived in the 1800s. Uperish Rav Aaron mi Karlin, in his sefer, which is called Beis Aaron, Dahainu al derech Yishmael bini Barcheni. There's a Gemara in Brachos Dav Zayin Amad Aleph. I have the Gemara Brachos here in front of me. The Gemara says an amazing thing. The Gemara says that Mikan Sha Kadosh Baruch Hu Mispalel, Hakadosh Baruch Hu Davins, Hakadosh Baruch Hu Davins. Brings a pasuk. Minayin shekadosh baruch hu mispal. How do you know Hashem davens? Va'aviosim al har kadshi v'simachtim beveis tefilah si. Right? You should rejoice in my place of davening. So from here we see that it's Hashem's place where Hashem davens also. Very interesting. What is Hashem daven? So the Gemara says, Yehi ratzon, it should be the will, milfanai, before me, that I should be able to suppress my anger and I should reveal my kindness upon my children. Very amazing. Hashem says, I should be able to go. I daven that I should be able to go. Lifnim mishura sadin. I should go beyond the letter of the law. I should go easy on my kids. Hashem is davening to himself. What does that mean? And then the Gemara says, even stranger. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha, Kohen Gadol, one time went into Kodesh Kadashim on Yom Kippurim, and he says, I saw something, some appearance of Hashem, whatever that means, that Hashem was Yoshev al Kisei Ram Venisa. I saw Malach Hashem. I saw some manifestation of the divine presence. Va'amar li, and it said to me, Yishmael bini barcheni. And it asked the Kohen Gadol, give me a bracha. Imagine Hashem asked the Kohen Gadol, so to speak, to give him a bracha. So amarti lo, so I said to the Shechina, whatever it is that he was in the presence of, I said, Yehi Ratzon, that you should suppress your anger and you should have rachmanis on the Jewish people, and you should go lifnim yishur asadin. He basically gave Hashem the bracha that Hashem, in the previous line of the Gemara, gave himself. V'ne'ena li b'rosho. And Hashem, so to speak, nodded along. He nodded with his head. Very deep, cryptic Gemara. And this, the Gemara says, is the source. Shelo tehe birchas hedyot kala be'enecha. That you should never consider the bracha of someone who is below you, right? Who is more of a commoner compared to you, to be light in your eyes. Take everyone's bracha seriously, right? So, you know, for those who've been to YU before, and you go to the little Nagels area, and our good friend Marco's over there, and he's, you know, God bless, God bless. He's always telling you, God bless, God bless. So you should take it seriously. He gave you a bracha. You should take everyone's bracha seriously. Yishmael Kohen Gadol gave a bracha to Hashem, and Hashem was appreciative of receiving a bracha. What does that mean? This is a very hard Gemara, Chevra. What is this idea, theologically, philosophically? What does that mean? To give a bracha to Hashem? Hashem davens. Klomar, laharos lanu inyan tenu oz lelokim. Chevra, yes. It reveals to us a secret called tenu oz lelokim. Give strength to God. You can give strength to Hashem. I'll tell you a simple way to think about it. Hashem is only going to have a place in this world to the degree that you allow HaKadosh Baruch Hu to exist in this world. It's up to you. If you're a bad Jew, not that I'm accusing anyone of that, chas v'shalom, but if you're a disinterested Jew, if you're not working on your Torah and your tefillah and your chesed, if you're not trying to be the type of person Hashem wants you to be, then Hashem doesn't have a voice in this world. Your non-Jewish neighbor is not gonna do it for Hashem. He was not chosen to be the light upon the world. He also has a place, obviously. He's created B'tzalim Elokim, Hashem is B'nei Noach. But you signed up for the full picture. You signed up for the full responsibility at Har Sinai. Tenu oz le'elokim, give strength to Hashem. The Shechina, we talk about the Shechina, the embodiment of Hashem in this world, it's all of us, it's the collective us that is the Shechina in this world. It's up to us to reveal the honor of Hashem and to give it presence in this world. Is Rosh Hashanah crowning Hashem? Crowning Hashem over the world. What does that mean? It's becoming aware of Baruch Hu is real. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in the world is a real thing. And to the degree that we know it and believe it and teach it and live it, it's real. So Hashem, when Hashem davens, so to speak, when Hashem davens, please, Hashem says to himself, please Hashem, right? Help my children to be good children. What's he talking about? He's talking to us. He's davening to us and he's asking us to, so to speak, daven for him. Because everything is in the hands of Hashem, except for what? Your Yira Shemayim. To what degree do you want to believe in Hashem? We have to realize that when things fall apart in this world, it's on us. We're the ones who are blocking it. It's very easy to point fingers and to blame Hashem for things. But realize when things fall apart, it's because Ayeka. What happened to Chafayelo? What happened to you? I created you a sweet little neshama. How did you let the Yitzhara take over your life? What happened to you? I created you to have a good life, a meaningful life, a positive life, a life filled with bracha. Ulitzayir lanu etzara shechina. It's incumbent for us to feel Hashem's pain, kiviyachol. Ve'inin atvila kiviyachol, and the idea that Hashem davens is letzayir lanu ki'ilu chas v'shalom yesh shama chesron. Why do we daven? We daven when we feel that there's a void, there's a lack in our life. So Hashem's tefillah is also. Hashem davens over the lack in his life. What's the lack? The lack is, if God forbid, his children don't live up to who we're supposed to be, who we can be. Again, we don't have to feel that, like, why are you dumping this heavy responsibility on me? It's who you are. It's simply about knowing who you are. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes into the sukkah in Yerushalayim. He explains here on a deeper level, sukkah, the concept of a sukkah, he bechinas bitol hayesh hagashmi. You leave the comforts of the stability of your home, and you go into this little outdoor hut without even a proper roof. In other words, you're negating physical reality. And Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is a combination of the word Yira, or maybe Re'iyah, and Shalem, a perspective that is complete. Yiras Shemayim, that is complete. In other words, the sukkah represents, I don't need the big, I don't need a fancy house. I don't need a stable home in order to have stability in my life. All I need is Hashem. I need to be able to look through the schach and see the stars above, to look up to the Shemayim, right? Like the Navi says, look towards the heavens and realize that there's a creator. That's all I need in my life. So Hashem goes into that sukkah to model for us what we need in our lives also. And Hashem did this b'tchilas b'riyaso sha'olam. Hashem set up his sukkah from the beginning of creation itself, as if to say, this is what all of creation is about, Chavra. It's about being able to, so to speak, join Hashem in that sukkah by being spiritual people, by allowing ourselves to reach for endless spiritual heights and not psyching ourselves out and saying, yeah, I'm enslaved to the Yitzhara. I'm trapped in the handcuffs of the Yitzhara. No, you're not. No, you're not. You don't have to live that way. When you're in Gullis, think about Geula. Look towards the future. As the Navi Yeshaya already told Klal Yisrael, before they went to Gullis Bavel, they're already talking about Geula. Okay, Chaver, one last paragraph for today. Let's go to the next paragraph. Gvul ha-hester. Gvul, again, means a border, or a boundary. The limitations of hester, of concealment. We just read this past Shabbos, that very scary pasuk in Chumash, when Hashem says, I'm going to hide myself from Klal Yisrael. I'm going to conceal my face from you. You're not going to know where I am. You're not going to know what's going on. Right? We just read it this Shabbos. It's the scariest pasuk in all of Chumash. The Navi says, the Rashi in the Navi Yeshaya says, that the scariest prophecy in all of Chumash are the words, Anochi Haster Aster, that I'm going to hide my face from you. on that frightening day. And again, that's what we're living through right now, a period of Hester Panim. We don't know what's going on in the world. But there's a gvul, there's a boundary, there's limitations of Hester, right? The same way that you feel trapped, it also means that it only takes up a limited space. There's something on the other side of that wall. So, chaver, let's end with this. The pasuk says, "Ve'era el Avraham." Right? The parsha's Ve'era. Begin back in Sefer Shmos. Parsha's Ve'era begins, "Ve'era, I appeared al Avraham, el Yitzchak, el Yaakov, bikel Shakai." It's abbreviated here. Right? I appeared to the Avos with the name Aleph Lamed and Shin Dalid Yod. I appeared to the Avos with the name Kel Shakai. Hainu, as the Gemara explains, that name Shin Dalid Yod is an abbreviation of Sha'amar La'olamo Dai. I said to the world enough. I said enough to the world. What does that mean? Bechinas Ketz Sam Lachoshech. This is a manifestation. Bechinim is a manifestation or an expression of. This is an expression of the concept Ketz Sam Lachoshech. Ketz, I set an end. Sam, I have placed an end to the darkness. In other words, the darkness doesn't last forever. The darkness doesn't last forever. Sometimes when you're in it, again, you can't see to the other side. Like again, that mushel from the Gesher Achaim of the two twins in the womb. One of them can't imagine that there's a better life beyond the mother's womb. But the Navi, the Pasuk in Iyov, rather, it's a Pasuk, tells us, Ketz Sam Lachoshech. There's a set time to the darkness. Sheyesh Gvul Lehester. There are boundaries, there are limitations to how long we're going to have to, you know, so to speak, serve Hashem in the dark. Vizoi hakara sa'avos hakadoshim olav shalom shaba alu lamadregasam halyana. This is something that we have to acknowledge about the avos. Hainu she'efshar mamish livkoa derech ha'ester. Think about the uphill battles that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov had to fight. And tell me, oh, they had it so easy. God spoke to them. Lech lecha me'artzecha, la'artz ha'shareka. Avraham was told, pack your bags, abandon everything that you ever knew, and just go. I'm not even telling you where we're going. You'll find out when you get there. You know how scary that is? And Avram went. He went without having a clue where he was going. Yitzchak also faced tremendous opposition. Right? He's constantly, you know, redigging the wells of his father because the Plishtim are clogging up the wells. They're blocking up all of that. Anything that Avram worked to uncover in the world, Yitzchak has to dig it out himself again. He has to try to find the Kadosh Baruch Hu, to dig himself out of the dirt, out of the darkness. Yaakov Avinu's whole life was suffering. Yaakov has to deal with an Esav, and he has to deal with a Lavan, and he has to deal at the end of his life with the Jews going into Gullus Mitzrayim. He has to deal with his daughter being raped. Chaver, these are not fairy tales. These are real people who went through real tsaris. And yet the Avos somehow emerged from all of that, and they broke through Livkoa Derech HaHester. They broke through to the other side. They found the light at the other end of the tunnel. Kikachu gvulo asher sam lo boro. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what? Shin dalid yod. Hashem said, die. There's a point where, dayenu, enough. Where Hashem says, good, the game's over. It's time to come home. No more Hester upon him. No more concealment. Shekol echad. Hashem built into the world that everyone is yachol livkoa bo. Everyone can break through. You don't have to think, I don't have the strength of the Avos. Chayiv Adam Lomar. You're obligated to say, I can be like the Avos. I can also break through. Chaver, we think, you know, yeah, but you don't understand, Rabbi. You don't understand how difficult my situation is. You don't understand how hard my life is. You don't understand this. You don't understand that. Right? And no one thinks anyone else understands their situation. We've all been through difficulties. You know, some of us imagine that the guy next to us in the shir has an easier life. Right? But we all have our tsaras, we all have our struggles. And just like the Avos found a way to push through, to mamish to break through, so too, we can also break through. We can also break through. If you work hard, if you strengthen, oymetz, if you strengthen yourself in truth, you'll break through. In the same place where the Avos saw a blockage, they also recognized what? The name, Va'era, I appeared to the Avos, Bekel Shaddai. The name Aleph Lamed, which is the name of Chesed. Tokaf Koach HaChesed Shamala. In the same place where they saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu putting walls around them, They also saw the whole thing is just a test. There's a famous mashal from the Baal Shem Tov of a king who wanted to test people to see their strength, to see their resolve, and he built walls all around them. Right, remember it? Some of us learned it last year in the Dagon Achan Ephraim. And people broke through some of the walls and other people gave up and there was all sorts of opposition. But the king's son says, I know my father's on the other side of that last wall. And I know that if my father has put himself behind that wall, as his son, I know I can get there. And he pushes and he pushes and he climbs and he breaks through walls and he fights through, you know, through warriors and dragons and whatever's blocking to come to the palace, you know, in this amazing mashal. The Avos found a way to come to Kael, to recognize the kindness of Hashem hidden behind all of that concealment. The Avos became great because they were fighters. The Avos became great because they felt, I know, it doesn't matter what everyone else says. Avram says, the whole world says there's no God, but I know there's a God. I believe there's a God, and I know there's a God, and no one's going to tell me otherwise. And Avram fought his way through everything. He was Echad Haya Avram, a one-of-a-kind Jew. V'hainu im nikach rak nitzotz meha'orezu. Chevra, if we can just take a little, he says, nitzotz, a spark, from this idea, from this way of thinking. Harezo tiyasov galus ha'nefesh, utchilas ha'geula ha'amitis shehi tshuva. Wow. Says Rav Dessler, if you can believe this idea that you can be like the Avos, you don't have to add your name to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. It doesn't have to be Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Yankel. It doesn't have to be that. You don't have to pretend that you're going to add your name to the Avos. There are only three who are called the Avos, the Gemara says. But you can live like the Avos. They broke through, you can break through. You can experience what we call Galus HaNefesh, and you can get out of that and experience Geula Amitis, Tshuva. You can take control again. Today's Chav Hei Elul. Chevra, there's no better day to do it. The day when your neshama was just a neshama and not a guf. To say, my neshama's in charge. I'm not subservient to the Nachash. I don't have to listen to the Yetzirah. Ukedivrei HaRamban b'hakdama l'sefer Shmos, like the Ramban writes in his introduction to the book of what? The book of Shmos, which is the book of Galus, but really the book of Geula. Hagalus einenu nishlam ad yom shuvam el makomam. Galus is not complete until the Jews come back. Ve'almalas avosam yeshuvu. Until we come back to the Madrega of the Avos. The Ramban understands the book of Shmos as not just the book of suffering, but the book of Galus and the book of Geula. And Chevra, every one of us is that book. Every one of us is writing that book. Our story of Galus, the struggles of my life, but the Geula. And again, Hashem wants us to bless Him. Hashem wants us to daven for Him. Hashem wants you to be successful. Hashem wants you to make it to the other side. Hashem wants you to dream of Geula when you're still in Galus. Hashem wants me Ashpos Yarm Evrim to see yourself as a Chavrus of Avram Avinu, to be His friend. Lo Shivi Im Nedivim, like we said. To sit alongside the Nediv, which Chazal say is Avram Avinu. Okay? So, Chevra, we'll stop here for today. This